In the meeting of order, and the first item of business is the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 72, relating to sexual assault examinations. This measure was before us last year, and it provided for free medical examinations for assault victims. Before the committee acted on the bill, it was determined that paying for examination was not a problem. We're advised that different sexual assault kits are used in the state without a uniform protocol, resulting in vital evidence not being properly and legally collected, causing problems in the prosecution of sexual crimes. The bill would provide for developing and distributing a uniform sexual assault kit, distributing a protocol manual. Barbara and Nick Close of the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, Juno, is here to testify.
Is it here?
Yes.
The Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault supports the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 72, which develops a system for improving sexual assault investigations throughout Alaska. This would be accomplished through the use of state-of-the-art sexual assault examination kits, and through the development of protocols to be used by peace officers, medical personnel, and district attorneys in sexual assault investigations. According to the FBI, sexual assault is the most underreported crime. Approximately 3.5 to 10% of sexual assaults are being reported. Sexual assault is underreported because victims often suffer undue trauma in the legal process and are not confident perpetrators will be found and prosecuted. In order to improve reportings to law enforcement and convictions of criminals, we must be able to assure victims that the system is effective and humane. Investigations are more complicated in rural areas where there's a lack of health care providers. Protocols are crucial for cases when hospital exams are not possible because planes cannot fly due to weather or funds are not sufficient to send victims to hospitals. Rural protocols need to be different than urban protocols. The Council feels strongly that uniform sexual assault examination kits and protocols are not sufficient to ensure adequate evidentiary collection. All professionals who come in contact with the victim and perpetrator must have knowledge of the dynamics of sexual assault and correct investigative procedures. Training needs to be given to all peace officers or people who have initial contact with the victim and perpetrator in how to sensitively work with the victim, to health care providers in how to collect evidence and treat the victim's emotional crisis, to district attorneys in effective prosecution techniques and sensitive treatment of the victim, and to sexual assault advocates and investigative principles and legal issues. Some further information regarding this legislation is, the Alaska State Troopers Lab distributes DALCM kits to some communities already. DALCM is considered state-of-the-art by many forensic experts. In order to distribute the kits statewide, additional funds would be needed. Also, training is provided to state troopers and municipal police officers at the State Trooper Academy on general investigative principles and the dynamics of sexual assault. Specific training would need to be funded on the examinations, sexual assault examinations, to implement the protocols and for refresher training. In addition, it must be noted that sexual assault investigations are seriously hampered because evidence must be sent to outside crime labs and routinely take as long as 3 months to be returned. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions?
I just have one question. I don't know whether this is the point or not. I was looking at the fiscal note on it, Mr. Chairman. I see a zero fiscal note, and yet I hear about kids and examinations and things like that. Is this an accurate fiscal note?
Well, I know I talked to the people in public safety today, and they have not developed a fiscal note, but they feel that one would be needed. So I don't know where the fiscal note came from, but it would cost additional funds.
Well, this one is for health and social services, and it's got a zero note on everything. And it just seemed to me that it's logical it's going to cost money. You might get the bill passed and then not have anything happen because there's no money on it. Just a thought, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you, Senator. Paula Haley? Of the Alaska Network? on domestic violence and sexual assault.
I'm the executive director of STAR, but I am representing the network here today. The Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault represents 20 member programs across the state who provide services to victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. And we support sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 72, an act relating to sexual assault investigations. The network's primary area of concern is the provision of comprehensive, sensitive, and timely services to victims. In cases of sexual assault, this concern involves assuring the victim that all the necessary evidentiary information will be gathered in order to facilitate a successful prosecution. For that reason, it is imperative that uniform kits are provided for statewide use and that protocols be developed for use and distribution of the kits, and that these protocols address the needs of both rural and urban areas, and that training be provided for both. Uniformity of kits is necessary in order to ensure that the evidence is going to be gathered properly and that all necessary materials are available for a complete and thorough examination. The development of protocols that addresses the unique and specific needs of rural areas must also be considered, because the necessary level of health care is going to vary depending on an urban and rural setting. It is the network's position that training in the protocols and use of the kit is of utmost importance. Availability of the kits is absolutely incidental if health care providers and criminal justice personnel are unaware of their availability or untrained in their use. Sexual assault examinations can be very traumatic for victims, and so they should be done in a sensitive and timely manner. Training and performing sexual assault examinations is very much necessary in order to accomplish this aim. In cases of sexual assault investigation and prosecution, collection of evidence plays a crucial role. In the opinion of the network, more efficient, timely, and sensitive performance of sexual assault examinations can be accomplished by provision of uniform kits, development of protocols, and provision of training to those involved in their use. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Haley. We have your written statement. Are there any questions? Not. Appreciate your coming forward. Gail Horetsky.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today and speak in support of, on behalf of the Criminal Division of the Department of Law, the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 72. Of course, the Criminal Division of the Department of Law contains the prosecutors who are charged with the duty of enforcing the criminal laws of the state. Along with that duty comes the responsibility of training, so far as resources and time allow, medical personnel and police in the proper investigation and collection of evidence regarding sexual assault. The Department of Law has been engaged in an ongoing effort to educate and train both local health care providers and police officers in this important function, but it's a question of too much to be done on limited time and resources. What training we have been able to accomplish in conjunction with the peace officers and local doctors has been of necessity sandwiched in between court dates and trial duties. I think that if the legislature does decide to adopt this bill and is willing to commit the funds, which the senator noted would certainly be necessary to do a worthwhile job of this training and developing the protocol and the kit, that it would give the Department of Law, in conjunction with Departments of Health and Social Service and Public Safety, a chance to make a concentrated effort in this area to train persons in rural areas where, because of weather and logistical problems, state troopers are often not readily available when a sexual assault is reported, and also to train healthcare providers to be conscious of collection of evidence at the time that they are giving emergency medical care to the victims of sexual assault. To address Senator Moss, your question about the fiscal note, I haven't seen the Health and Social Services note. I'm sure that you're correct that it's zero. I have talked briefly with representatives of the Department of Public Safety and also with Mr. Pegues, who is in our fiscal department in the Department of Law Administrative Services, And to my knowledge, sure, both the Department of Public Safety and the Department of Law will be asking for some necessary amount of funds to pay for both attorney and paralegal time in developing the protocol, developing the list of kit contents. I'm sure the Department of Public Safety will need some funds to actually purchase the kit and pay for the disbursement to local areas. And we are also requesting, to my knowledge, some limited amount of funds for duplication and printing costs so that any booklets, pamphlets, evidentiary guides that we develop can be widely distributed so that they will be effectively used. Be glad to answer any questions.
I'm going to ask you a question, Mr. Chairman, first. Well, this bill, if we pass it out today, will we have to have a fiscal note with it that it goes to finance, or can it be given to finance at a later date?
We have to have the fiscal notes right after we pass it.
Do you have any other one finance can continue?
Yes, sir. I believe that it was...
Well, we have a fiscal note. The question is
I didn't see the fiscal note.
The question is whether it's reasonable.
We haven't received all of the fiscal notes. I requested all of them from Public Safety Law and the Social Services. So we haven't received all the Social Services.
So the reason there's a zero fiscal note from HESS, from Health and Social Services, I presume is that they look to the Department of Law and the Department of Public Safety as the lead agencies.
I believe so, sir, yes.
And when would, do you have any idea, maybe that was about what you already said, when you would have a fiscal note on?
I'm sure we could have it to you by tomorrow morning. I know it's in draft. I've seen it in draft.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just a quick question. Can you tell me that the line between sexual assault and sexual abuse, or are they one and the same?
Mr. Chairman, under the amendments that were passed last year by the legislature, sexual assault is a non-consensual, forcible sexual assault, either penetration or contact upon a person, male or female. The element of force, that is non-consent, is one of the elements of the offense. In the statutes of sexual abuse of a minor, the element of lack of consent or force, as we traditionally think about it, in, for example, the rape of an adult woman, need not be present because the offense is specifically defined based upon the age of the victim. 0 to 13, 13 through 16, under 18 if a family offense, etc. Although you could have a typical, quote, violent rape upon a child, that would be sexual assault. But if the child were penetrated or touched in a sexual manner without, you know, any violence, or maybe because the child was tricked into it, or because the child's so young that he or she doesn't know any better, that would constitute sexual abuse of a minor in whatever degree, depending on the conduct and the age of the child.
Thank you. Any other questions? No,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, is there anyone else who wishes to be heard on this bill? If not, we'll wait for the fiscal note and revert to it on Wednesday. Okay, let's take up the two non-controversial measures. Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 38, Senate Committee substitute, is the one where we were to restore the non-controversial but better language where the Department of Education would stimulate the teaching of sign language courses, since the department does not directly operate schools. Is there a motion on that? This would be the Senate Committee substitute for committee substitute for HCR, the teaching of sign language. Senator Hawker moves to report the bill with individual recommendations.
Do pass.
Any objection? No, that motion is adopted. Okay. And the next one was SB 362, student loan. This was on the consortium student attending two or more institutions. Dr. Roseberg testified on this last week. Is there a motion to...
So moved.
Senator Moss moved to do pass on SB 362. Is there objection? Not. And then we finally come to Senate Bill 346, mental health commitment. There were two changes suggested by the department. One on page 4, line 3. Section 5, a minor under the age of 18 may be admitted for 30 days of evaluation, diagnosis, and treatment at a designated treatment if the minor's parents, et cetera, sign the admission papers, and if in the opinion of the professional person in charge, the minor is gravely disabled or suffering from mental illness, et cetera, and is likely to cause harm to the minor. There is no less restrictive alternative available. There is no reason to believe the minor's mental condition can be improved by the court. There is reason to believe the minor's mental condition can be improved or would deteriorate further if untreated. And they propose a new subsection after, that's A, after B, that an additional 30-day voluntary admission of a minor under the age of 18 may be sought by parents or guardians if, in the opinion of the professional person in charge, the conditions under subsections 1, 2, and 3 continue to exist.
Well, they've got two different ways. Mm-hmm. Does it read one additional 30-day period, or does it in fact read additional 30-day periods?
Well, the testimony that I recall Dr. Shapiro giving was it would be renewable, like on 30-day periods, and the way Nancy described it was one. I think there's a real difference.
Well, the way their proposed amendment is drafted is additional 30-day voluntary admissions.
Yeah.
So it would appear to be ongoing periods of 30 days.
In fact, Dr. Shapiro thought that the more it could be done on a voluntary basis, the better, but I'm not sure I would agree with that.
Yeah, the problem is voluntary basis when it's parent volunteering for a a 17 and a half year old child, it may not be voluntary.
Under the present law, they only have 21 days, so they need 9 more days out of
it. Well, if it were an additional 30-day period.
An additional 30-day voluntary admission of a minor. Okay, is that your motion? All right, Senator Helfer moves on page 4, before section 6 on line 3 to insert a new subsection C. An additional 30-day voluntary admission of a minor under the age of 18 may be sought by parents or guardians if, in the opinion of a professional person in charge, the conditions under subsections 1, 2, and 3 continue to exist. It should be A, 1, 2, 3. discussion on that? Yeah.
When we talk about the professional person in charge, we're still talking about a physician and not a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
The term mental health professional is defined at the end. And I assume that is a mental health person in charge of a facility.
Well, I've got a question on that. When we asked Parsons, he said it only happens by a psychiatrist, but our definition of mental health professional is very broad.
But the mental health, the professional person in charge, ATI, is the other.
Is in charge of the institution or of the individual?
We, if you'd like to, we could, you could insert, if in the opinion of the professional person in charge of the treatment facility.
Which would be a position, right?
Yeah. You want to do that?
Yeah, because that's going beyond. We put mental health professional in the 72-hour period with a fairly broad definition, which still probably the mental health professional in any of the broad definition has more ability to evaluate danger to the public or to anybody else than a peace officer with no training at all. But when you go beyond 72 hours, I just assume it was a little bit better.
All right, Nancy, would you see that wherever the term, I think it may be only two places, but where the term professional person in charge appears, that we add, we modify it by saying of the facility or of the treatment facility. Okay? All right. Any objection then to Senator Hoffman's amendment? If not, that's adopted. The second item was also spoken to by Dr. Shapiro in section 7, and I believe he wished to delete the underlying language on lines 9 through 12. A person taken into custody for emergency evaluation may not be placed in a jail or other correctional facility except for protective custody purposes and only while awaiting transportation to a treatment facility. The And to reinsert, a correctional facility may be used as an emergency evaluation facility if an evaluation facility is not available.
Where is it reading?
On page 5.
Section
12. Section 7. As I remember, he said that communities where that would be necessary, isn't it?
Don't have a bug again.
All right, we'll find her. As written, the bill, if strictly interpreted, could tend to prohibit the completion of examination or evaluations of patients that were detained in jails or correctional centers. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Even if qualified evaluation personnel were available. We agree in principle that jails and correctional centers shouldn't be used to hold the non-criminal mentally ill. However, in practice, we found that under certain exceptional circumstances, a jail or correctional center may be the only facility available to detain the patient at the local level for purposes of evaluation and ensure the safety of the patient and the community. It has been our experience that the utilization of these types of facilities is neither widespread nor indiscriminate and is used only on a very short-term basis. Nevertheless, when it is necessary to house patients in jails or correctional centers, we proceed with the examination, evaluation, and involuntary commitment process when the necessary resources are locally available. The time spent by these patients under these circumstances is counted for the purposes of a 24 and 72-hour time limit that is required for examination and evaluations to occur by mental health professionals. This tends to ensure that patients are not detained longer than necessary and treatment, if indicated, can commence immediately. Consequently, we recommend the amendment deleted in the existing language in AS 473705 be retained. Yes?
The only problem I have with the use of correctional facilities is when you don't have the privacy or separation in the correctional facility. And I think that can be more damaging to someone mentally ill than almost anything else. If we're going to put that back in, I would want to figure out some type of qualifying language that prohibited it from being a common holding cell or something like this. And there's got to be some better compromise in there.
Well, what is this problem? It says that you can only use it for protective custody purposes and only when awaiting transportation.
Right. He thinks that the language saying that while waiting transportation to a treatment facility means that they will not be allowed to start the treatment and evaluation while they're in a correctional facility.
I think so. It only speaks to where they happen. It doesn't say what happens to them. If that's his concern, we can better say that evaluations may begin immediately upon such placement.
I just don't want to put that in jail.
I'm inclined to leave that alone. And we can talk about it more before the book goes on the floor. But. This bill is going to be controversial. Bills of this kind are always thankless tasks, I think. There will be negative letters from the editor, but there will be positive ones too. And as you know, the bill is supported by professionals and the Mental Health Association and others as well.
Allowing them to have the additional 30-day commitment
yeah,
for a mile.
That's the only change, though.
Right.
I think we can do this amendment.
Where's it go from here?
Judiciary.
Judiciary.
Yeah. It gives a little
amendment. Were you waiting on something?
No, I was waiting here.